things straight here. Yeah, there we go. Well, welcome. Wow, we got a full house today. So glad to see so many of you, and glad you're here with us this morning. Thank you to everyone who contributed this morning. How many were here at the very beginning when Marie McWilliams did Mary? Okay, not everybody. Okay, for the benefit of those who didn't, or who were here, or who didn't get to see it, it was amazing monologue, but the PowerPoint went along with it so well. And Kelsey did the PowerPoint. I just want to thank her because it was just awesome. Talk about somebody that's kind of behind the scenes, you know, that you don't see who did that. Well, this morning I want to share with us about our living hope, the living hope. And I've chosen a scripture from, not from the Gospels, but from 1 Peter chapter 3. I mean, chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this awesome day. And I know our emotions have been moved many, many different directions this morning from the very beginning through the monologue, through our time of worship, through the prayer for the people of Sri Lanka, for the last skit we just saw, the special music we heard. Father, I just ask now that you would expand our hearts to receive that which you have for us in these closing moments this morning, the words that you wish for us to hear, the meditations you wish for us to embrace, the truth that you wish for us to inscribe upon our hearts that give us life. Father, we commit this time to you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Peter writes, "Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." That's a lot, isn't it? That's a lot just in those couple of verses. And this is a letter that Peter's writing. I think letter writing is a lost art. Anybody agree with that? In the day of texting and tweeting and emails even, people don't write letters anymore. People communicate a lot by Facebook and other things. I know parents have learned that their daughter was pregnant through Facebook. Yeah. Yeah, that's a wow, isn't it? And so letter writing has become a lost art. And even those of us who still write letters, we generally begin with something like, "Dear John, dear Bill, dear Sue, dear Mary." Then we begin our letter, right? Well, Peter, as the Apostle Paul and the others who wrote in the New Testament, begins his letter this way: "From Peter, an apostle of Jesus the Anointed One, to the chosen ones who have been scattered like seed into the nations, living as refugees, to those living in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and throughout the Roman provinces of Asia and Bithynia, you are not forgotten, for you have been chosen and destined by Father God. The Holy Spirit has set you apart to be God's holy ones, obedient followers of Jesus Christ, who have been gloriously sprinkled with the blood. May God's delightful grace and peace cascade over you many times over." Can you say wow? That's quite an introduction, isn't it? Now, if you're writing a letter to someone, or even an email, and you have something you wish to share with them, and maybe it's a long letter, but what are you going to share first? That thing that's most important to you, isn't it? That thing that's beating on your heart. "Wow, I just got a new job. We just bought a new house. We just got a new car. We just got a new dog." Whatever's most important to you, you're going to share that first. And so this is what we read when Peter says, "Praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's given us a new birth and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. That was what was beating in Peter's heart. He said, I need to tell you this. I need to remind you of this. I need to encourage you with these words. Now, if you were a sentence, what mark of punctuation would follow you? Is your life a question mark because you're without answers? Is it a comma because you're in transition? Could it be a period because everything is at a standstill? Or is it a dash because you're in a continual rush? Well, this verse can put an exclamation mark at the end of our lives because it is a verse of continual praise. Let's look at what Peter writes. He says, praise God. In different translations, we read, praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the New King James, in many translations, is blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Passion Translation says, celebrate with praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great way to start this letter. Praise be to God. And then he goes on to say, that according to his great mercy, God's mercies are new every morning. Every morning. God doesn't give us stale bread. He doesn't give us leftovers. They are new every morning. Every morning. I think Peter knew this. I think Peter experienced this. He embraced this. Think about Peter's last days with Jesus. What was happening? The last 24 hours. He was with Jesus in the garden. And what did Peter do? He cut off a man's ear. Do you know why he cut off his ear? His aim was bad. He wasn't aiming at his ear. He was aiming at his head. And he cut off this man's ear. And then, within the next few hours, he does what? He denies Jesus three times. That's the last time he saw Jesus. Jesus is on the cross. He dies. He goes to the grave. If Jesus never rose from the dead, just think of the guilt and shame that Peter would be carrying to this day. Wow. That's a wow, isn't it? But Jesus not only rose from the dead, but he assured Peter of his love and his forgiveness and his mercy that was new to him every morning. So Peter knew something about this mercy because he had received it far beyond that which he ever thought he deserved. God's mercy was poured out into Peter's heart. In Hebrews we read, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to the confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. Whatever that time may be for you and for me. according to his great mercy, has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Do you remember when Jesus engaged Nicodemus? And Nicodemus said, "What must I do?" And Jesus said, "You need to be born again." Or actually, a better translation is, you need to be born from above. You need to be born from above. You and I need to know that new birth. That new birth can only come from Jesus. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And he says to you and me, "I want to invite you to be a part of my kingdom." And you enter this kingdom through what I call a new birth. You're made anew, afresh, and anew. The new birth gives us new life. How many of you can remember when you experienced that new birth? It was an awesome day, wasn't it? I can remember. My life was so totally changed that now my wife, Linda, then my girlfriend, thought that was going to be the end of our relationship. Little did she know that the hound of heaven had been pursuing her as well. And her life was also dramatically changed. Yes. My mother was so worried about me that she had the pastor from the church we'd grown up in come and talk with me. Thought I had gone off the deep end. And my classmates at the Naval Academy, they said, "Oh, don't worry about it. It's just a phase. First it was Jimi Hendrix, then it was Easy Rider. Now it's Jesus. Just give it time. He'll pass. It'll pass." Well, I'm here to say all these years later, it hasn't passed. Amen. Yeah. Well, we're born into a living hope. A living hope. What a great and glorious proclamation. Peter later in the same letter writes, "For you know that your lives were ransomed once and for all from the empty and futile way of life handed down from generation to generation. It was not a ransom payment of silver and gold, which eventually perishes, but the precious blood of Christ, who like a spotless, unblemished lamb was sacrificed for us." This was part of God's plan. This was plan A, folks, not plan B. God didn't look down on the earth and say, "Oh my, things are a mess. What are we going to do?" Jesus said, "Well, I got an idea." No, this was the plan from the very beginning, from creation. This was part of God's plan, for he was chosen and destined for this before the foundation of the earth was laid. But he has been made manifest in these last days for you. It is through him that you now believe in God, who raised Jesus from the dead and glorified him, so that you would fasten your faith and hope in whom? In God alone. Amen. Amen. Paul writes in Romans, he talks about him as the God of hope. And he says he's the hope for the Gentiles as well as for the Jews. Isn't that good news? How many of us are Gentiles in this room this morning, huh? Most of us, right? That's good news for us, that we have been grafted into the vine. That is good news. That is hope for you and for me. Paul also writes in 1 Timothy, he says, as he introduces that letter, he says, "From Paul, an apostle in Christ Jesus, for it was Jesus himself, our living hope." He's a living hope. We don't worship a memory. He's alive. We're worshiping the resurrected Lord. And the author of Hebrews says this, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil." I love that translation. This is the New King James translation. Do you believe that? It enters where? The presence. How many of you want to be in the presence? It enters the presence behind the veil. Now we know that that veil was rent by whom? Jesus, as he died on that cross, the veil in the temple, which was a big, thick curtain, was split from top to bottom. Wow, wouldn't you like to have a videotape of that one? You know, the high priest standing there, oh no, what's happening? You know, as the veil is rent, we can enter the most holy of holies. We can come to the mercy seat where Jesus' blood was sprinkled on that mercy seat for you and for me to atone our sin. And it says this hope is like an anchor into that place. Now, what does an anchor do? Well, anchors, if you have a ship or a boat, an anchor is very important. Yes. That anchor keeps you in one place. It positions you. I remember when Linda and I were on our cruise and we were docked somewhere and I looked down and there was this ship. It kind of looked like this ship. I couldn't figure out what it was. It looked like one of these spy ships, you know, and it was anchored there. And as I was looking at it, trying to figure out what it was all about, I was looking at the port side of the ship. Well, by the afternoon, I was looking at the starboard side of the ship. It had turned because of the current, yeah, but it was still in the same what? Same place. It was anchored. The anchor kept that ship from drifting away. And the anchor that God wants us to fasten ourselves to keeps us from drifting. Yeah. See, we don't drift because we're anchored. And we're anchored into the most holy place. Praise God. Paul goes on to write there. He says, praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has given us a new birth. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to follow some sort of path or pattern. He's given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection is what makes all of this possible. It all happens because of the resurrection. Jesus was not just buried in the grave and that was it. There's no other God worshipped anywhere in the world who rose again from the dead. Buddha is buried. Allah, who's not a god, but I mean, Allah is the Muslim god, but Muhammad, who was his prophet, is dead and buried. I was sharing with a Muslim man years ago. Some of you may have heard this story. His name was Adam. I said, oh, Adam, that's a very old name. He laughed. You can laugh too. So we started talking about Islam. And you may or may not know it, but Muslims believe that Isa, Jesus, was a great prophet. They believe that he's coming back again, that he's going to return to this earth. They believe some different things about him than we do. But so I said to him, I was kind of leading him along. I said, Adam, now, let me understand this. Isa's coming back, not Muhammad. Is that right? He goes, that's right. I said, well, why is Isa coming back and not Muhammad? He says, because Muhammad is dead and buried. He's in the ground. But Isa went to paradise with Allah, God the Father. He didn't say the Father, with God. And I'm like, oh, very interesting. So I'm getting him to think, okay, why is Isa the one that's coming back? It's because Isa is the Son of God. He's our Savior. Well, this resurrection takes us into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? All right, I can't get my next slide here. Did we goof? Dan, can you help me? See if you can get it to come up. The next slide. Thank you, Fred, for your help. While they're doing that, let me tell this. There it is. Okay. So we had it for a minute. There we go. Thank you. This is my mom. Most of you know she passed away almost a year ago. But we went there. I was thinking as I prepared for this morning. This is close to 30 Easter messages that I've delivered. I know it's at least one less because last year, it was a hard decision to make. Linda and I went to Louisville to be with my mom for her 95th birthday. That was on a March 31st, a Saturday. Easter was that Sunday, April 1st, last year. Little did we know then that that would be the last time that we would have a visit of that type with her. She was fully cognizant. We had a great time. The next time, we'd planned to come back in July for a couple weeks, but the next time we returned was in June when she was in the hospital, and she never left the hospital. When she left, she went to be with our Lord. So this year, a week ago, we went to Louisville again to meet with Ed for his 96th birthday. Yeah. And the point I want to share about this is that this reminded me of something that you and I experience. You see, this inheritance that we just read about, it's preserved for us in heaven, but it's available for us right now. Right now. We can draw on our inheritance before we ever get there. If you've given your life to Jesus, you are already walking in eternal life. It doesn't start when you die. It starts when you say, "Yes, Lord, I give my life to you." And so, after my mother passed, her husband, Ed, said, I had this insurance policy that I took in when I was in the Army in World War II. He's a World War II vet. And he said, your mom was the heir, but since she's passed, I want to make you and your brothers, there are three of us, my two brothers and me, you will be the ones to receive this insurance policy one day. I said, okay, thank you, Ed. That's very kind of you. We appreciate it. We got the paperwork, you know. So on this visit, we're honoring him on his birthday. We're giving him gifts. We have a nice cake. And everything's done in that way. And then all of a sudden, he gives, you can see the wrapping paper, each of us a gift. We're like, what's this all about, Ed? This is your birthday we're celebrating. Why are you giving us a gift? So we all opened up at the same time. And in each of the boxes for my two brothers and me was a check. You see, since he turned 96, his insurance policy was no longer void. It was void. It was no longer valid. And since we're the inheritors, we got our inheritance now from that insurance policy. Wow. Yeah. You can say wow. Wow. Yeah. 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 Say it backwards. Wow. Either way you say it, it's a wow. I was floored, obviously. Could not believe it. But see, that's the way it is with Jesus. We receive our inheritance now. You and I can avail ourselves of God's inheritance for our lives. Phillips Brooks said it this way. Phillips Brooks. Anybody know that name? He was a great theologian, but he also wrote a song we sing every Christmas. O Little Town of Bethlehem. Yeah, this man lived over 100 years. He died over 100 years ago. Lived over 100 years ago, too, but died over 100 years ago. And he said this, and I quote, "The great Easter truth is not that we are to live newly after death. That is a great thing. But that we are to be new here and now by the power of the resurrection." Can you say amen to that? Amen. Yes. We're new here and now by the power of the resurrection. Well, as I was preparing this message, I was listening to an old Bethel album. Actually, none of the Bethel albums are really old, okay? It was just an older version. And one of the songs, I said, wow, this is a perfect song for this morning. So I went online to see, you know, because Fred and I do this. Sometimes these songs, they have PowerPoints or videos that go along with them. So I was looking. They had one that just had the words to the song. That was good. But then I found this other video of a dance that was done out of Bethel to the name of the same song. But there was no music to the dance. It was just background music. The song wasn't, the song that I was listening to was not part of it. So I was able to incorporate the two. And I think you're going to find this to be pretty amazing. Thank you, Lord.
For every curse, you're the cure. For every sickness, you're the healer. For every storm, you're the calm. For all that's lost, oh, what a Savior. On that cross of Calvary, from the grave.
Woo! Thank you, Lord. Wow. Thank you. I've got one more slide there, Dan. Thank you. Go to the next one there. We're going to see the video again if you don't. Go to the next one. Can you go to the next one? There you go. Thank you. The resurrection of the Messiah is the central point of Christianity. We do not worship a memory. If we go back to that letter, if God is writing that letter, it ends with all the punctuation. It ends with a period because it is finished. Jesus echoed those words from the cross. He said, it is finished. Tetelestai in the Greek. It is done. It is over. It'll never need to happen again. Period. It is finished. It's a dash because it propels you and me into our future destiny. It's a comma because for you and me, death is just a pause. It's just a doorway. We just step across the line. If this carpet represents life on this earth and the tile represents eternity in heaven with God, we just step across that line from one existence to another. It's a period, it's a dash, it's a comma, and it's an exclamation mark. Belief in the resurrection is not an appendage to the Christian faith. It is the Christian faith. Christ has risen. Amen. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Fred, could you get the rest of the lights? If you all could just stand with me, please. And I'd like to just close this morning by the ancient church would echo those words, Christ is risen. And the refrain is what? He has risen indeed. So as I say Christ is risen, you say he is risen indeed. Let's do it three times and each time a little louder. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Ah, glory. Yes. Lord, we just thank you for the resurrection message. We thank you that you did indeed you rose from the dead and that you are seated there at the right hand of the Father. We know one day, Lord, you'll return to this earth. But between now and then, Lord, we thank you for the joy of walking with you. We thank you for the joy of serving you. And we thank you for the promise of eternal life with you, the hope that you give to each and every one of our lives. And so, Lord, as we leave here this morning, or now afternoon, and go to our homes and families and on into this new week, God, we pray. I ask and pray for each and every one of us, Lord. Order our steps. Direct our pathways. Father, grant us divine appointments, opportunities to share your love and your life, the things that we just talked about this morning and we witnessed throughout this entire service, Lord. May we not just possess them in clay pots and containers, but may those pots be broken, and may we express those to the world around us, to those who don't yet know your love, your joy, your peace, and your forgiveness. And Father, for all this, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, let's go in God's peace this morning.